Blog Talk Radio.
Right after 9-1-1, and our troops were being shipped off to Iraq to fight in Iraq and fight in Afghanistan, and also in the Horn of Africa, in Djibouti, I said, I promised that I would watch their backs, and I guess I didn't do a good job because there's a Lieutenant Behenna. I think he's a Marine Lieutenant, and he is in prison for 15 years for killing one of the enemy. And he has been betrayed. And I'm told that at his court-martial, there were 7 staff officers passing judgment on him, and not one had combat experience. That is very sad. So I woke up this morning, and I hope he does get justice, and I wish I could be president for a day because I'd be doing a lot of pardoning and a lot of house arrests. So I woke up this morning, and there is a notice, it's Armed Forces Day. I run to my calendar, there's no mention of it. The press is not mentioning it. Nobody is talking about it, except some GIs that know what's happening. And I just saw, this is now 2:35 in the afternoon, and I saw my first blog on Happy Armed Forces Day. So I pulled this guy's blog out, and I'm going to read it to you. And here in North Carolina, home to MOTSU, M-O-T-S-U, Fort Bragg, and USMC, Base Camp Lejeune, we vets have North Carolina. How can you vote for Obama? How can you betray the troops? This guy has already reclassified them all as NATO troops. He doesn't even call them American troops anymore. We vets have an active little nonprofit called Step Up for Soldiers, and our current undertaking is to provide a home for disabled vets, hopefully at no cost, and other homes up to a complete developments for other vets. So far, we have two houses donated and pledges of land. Better not let the government know. They'll take it away from you. You could have oil there. We're getting there. That means a lot of us because most of us are vets and the people we deal with are very patriotic and caring. If you could get a bunch of us in office, no vet would ever feel neglected. Amen. And once I'm president, the first edict that I'm going to lay on the communists is no more payoffs to be ambassadors. Only wheelchair vets can be American ambassadors. So take your money, take your snooty little outfit, and get out. Yeah, VA hospitals and clinic would be superb, like Duke or the Mayo Clinic. No vet would ever feel neglected. Armed Forces Day and November the 11th, Veterans Day, should be top holidays here, not second-class holidays. You're right. And when I'm president, we'll close everything. Except the House and the Senate. They have to work to make up for all the time they wasted. We can have them doing the dishes. Not second-class holidays. Three cheers for Colonel H.P. Kelly, deceased, CW4, Phil Kelly, my USMC cousins, Army, Navy, Seward's, and Coasties, one big patriotic family, and Brian, Robert, Greg, and his wife, and others. Thanks for being there. So, like the boy who found the message in a bottle, I have just picked up this blog and broadcast it to the millions of listeners that I don't have. But I'll tell you what I did do. After watching Fox the other day, they had a tribute to the Wounded Warrior program, and downstairs from where Fox broadcasts, they had set up an obstacle course, and you got to see these guys with one leg pulling themselves up over barriers to get to the other side, crawling under barbed wire, crawling through the mud, jumping into pools of ice, and each one helping the other accomplish the mission. And that's what it's all about. It's all about teamwork. If you're not a team player, you can't be an American. If you got Bin Laden all by yourself, you're not an American. You're probably from some country like Kenya. So, now having said that, and seeing what Fox was doing for the Wounded Warrior Project, I decided to write a big man in New York who happens to have his own football team. And I sent him a message saying, how about your team donate your football stadium to a tribute to the American vets and invite veteran couples to come to New York and be saluted. And we could start with the wounded. And I think his stadium holds about 50,000 people. So that would be a start. And I reminded him, you know, that he being a New Yorker knows that New York, who was saved by the military and would only be a pile of rubble today if it wasn't for the military, that they never once said thank you. Mayor Mohammed Bloomingdale never gave the keys to the city to the 10th Mountain Division, who's a tenant in the state of New York. Never once did he invite him down. Never once did Donald Trump say, hey, I got an empty room tonight for this family here. Were they vets? Yeah, I got a couple of empty rooms for you guys. Never once did anybody buy them a cup of coffee. Never once did Broadway say, hey, you know, we got 20 empty seats tonight in the show. Why don't we give them to some veterans? How about a free meal? How about a free cab ride? All these people are living today because of these vets. If they weren't there, we'd all be dead. So, having said that, we'll see what I get back. I know what I'm going to get back. You do too, right? Oh, it's very nice. Yes, nice. Thank you for your letter. We'll keep it on file. But you never know. Now, once in a while, a ray of sunshine shines through. When I come back, we're going to talk about bringing back the draft. I'll give you a tune right now to warm the cockles of your American heart. Let's see if I can give you something that'll really stir you. Let's see if we can come up with... We got all kinds of openings here. Ah, here's one. Here's this we could call this the Facebook story. Chapter has a tune to play. This one is Americano, and if I find it, I'll play it. Yep, I got it. I'll play it for you. Maybe I'll play it for you right now. Let me see where it is here. Americano. There it is. citizen. He was part of Facebook, the winning team, and he made six or seven billion, whatever it was he made, and he went to Singapore instead, and he denounced his American citizenship. I hate this country. Yeah, isn't that something? Doesn't that warm the cockles of your heart? I had a store, a little store in town, and when 911 hit, we were real close. We could see the smoke from the neighborhood, and so people got real patriotic. My neighborhood people are very rude. They're crude. They would run you over in a heartbeat, and without even thinking twice, they wouldn't even look back. But all of a sudden, they got patriotic. And I got to say that that's one ingredient that hasn't been destroyed yet. There are more flags in my town than in most of the country. But everybody started looking for flags, and it was real sad. I had a woman come in, and she wanted a flag. And her face was ashen. She looked like the Walking Dead. And that heaviness. And I said to her, "Did you lose somebody?" She goes, "Yes, I lost my husband. He worked for Cantor Fitzgerald." And what do you say to her? What can you say? I had another guy come in, and he was totally exhausted. He was probably about early 20s, not well built, but you know, wiry, and he sat down on the floor, and I said, "Man, you look worn out." He goes, "Yep, I was the first one there. I arrived in a fireboat, and I'm the last one to leave." I said, "Oh man." And that really gets you.
But when I'm thinking about that guy from Brazil on Facebook, a couple came in, and I was out of flags. I had the only flags I had left were marine flags, nylon, and they're expensive. And I had one flag left, and it probably sold for, it probably cost me $25. And the guy says, "Oh, you got the flag?" I says, "I got one left." He goes, "How much?" I said, $12. He goes, "I love this country, but not $12. Unbelievable, right? And I often joke, I use a Russian accent, and I'll say, "I love this country, everything free. I have 9 social security numbers." And then I put out a 20, the number 20 on my, with my fingers. Yeah, unbelievable. But we were going to talk about, bring back the draft. Now, America has been brainwashed for 40 years. The left has been, has you believing marijuana is good for you, and it's good for the economy, so the government can tax it once you become a junkie. And I flash back to Archie Bunker. They used to say Archie Bunker used to play a real conservative on TV, and he would be portrayed as half a nut and the other half conservative. But in real life, I'm told that Archie was a real liberal. Just like Ed Asner playing a hero, or Alec Baldwin playing a hero, you know, or Rambama saying he got Bin Laden all by himself. But Archie was a liberal. And we were talking about drugs and how everybody, you know, especially Hollywood, are targets because they got the money and the drug dealer wants the money. So they target the Hollywood star and their children. And that gave me a flashback to Archie Bunker. Archie Bunker never had any kids of his own, and he adopted a boy. And him and his wife raised the boy, and one day he overdosed and died. And Archie, at that moment, was conservative. And he went out to the public, and he denounced the drug dealer who sold his son the drugs and accused him of being a murderer. Whereupon the drug dealer sued Archie, won in court, and Archie had to back off and was never heard from thereafter. And that's how it works in the USA. So be careful when you want your day in court, because you may not like the outcome. And take the advice of Captain Boycott. Avoid court at all costs, and avoid lawyers. Chapter 8, in the Spirit of America Party book, Bring Back the Draft. We're all brainwashed. We were brainwashed after NAM that the draft is bad and that a volunteer army is better. So we cowards decided to employ a mercenary army, and we decided to give them a little more money than everybody else to go out there and die for us so we didn't have to be bothered. And the sad part about that is nobody cares what happens to these guys. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. There could be somebody standing in line between two people that have no legs that lost them in Afghanistan, and they would be complaining about having to take their shoes off. You would think we wouldn't have this TSA stuff. And they're the ones that brought all of these Muslim terrorists here, the Allahu Akbar boys. So bring back the draft, play Americano, which I did. I got a picture of a GI, a Marine, who has just finished the second battle of Fallujah because political correctness entered their win on the first battle and made them pull out so they could negotiate and lose the negotiations and then have to go back and do Fallujah all over again. And while they were in Fallujah killing Al-Qaeda, those bad Muslims,
not the good Muslims, but the bad ones, you know, who hijacked a religion and a government.
Yeah.
When they say religion, you say government, because they're one and the same. And they went into Fallujah, and Chris Matthews had a pimp working for him, an NBC, who stood behind a Marine who finished off a twitching Al-Qaeda. And they filmed the Marine finishing him off, and then they flashed it on NBC, and they called the Marine a murderer. This guy just lost two buddies in the building down the street. And all he was trying to do was survive. And when he seen this guy still twitching, he finished him off to make sure he couldn't get to his rifle. And so they tried the Marine in the media, in the communist media, NBC, nothing but communists. And Chris Matthews even had a sellout Congressional Medal of Honor winner come out and identify the Marine and say he was jazzed up. They accused him of being jazzed up. And you know what that cameraman, I still remember his name. His name was Kevin Seitz. And you know where I seen him right after? He was in Iran. And he was on an Irish passport. He wouldn't even admit he was an American. And there he was taking propaganda movies. So beware of the communist media conspiracy. So I have a picture of another Marine who had to go back in and finish the job in Fallujah. And by the way, Fallujah is that famous bridge where they hung the Americans off of. Remember that? And then burned their bodies and everybody posed with them like they were the capture of the day. I happen to know a guy who went into Iraq at the very beginning, and he said that our equipment was horrible. He said that the vehicles had canvas doors. Now you look at those vehicles. Now they're tuned up for the area. They've got all kinds of grating and grenade repellent type of design on their equipment. And he also had a friend that he was serving with, and he was working for a contractor. You know, they went after the contractors, like Blackwater. And his contractor friend said to him, "I'm going over with another contracting outfit. It's 20 grand more. You want to join me? I can get you in." He said, "No. I'll stay where I am. Thanks." And about a week later, or maybe it was the next day, the guy that invited him over was hanging from that bridge. So, think about that. So, he fights your battles and you cry about secondhand smoke. I got a picture of a Marine. He's having a cigarette. His face is all, he's got a gash in his nose and it's scabbed over. And his face is all dirty, like he's been in it. He's walked through fire, and he fights your battles, and you cry about secondhand smoke. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. Why should he only die for thee? He does not get his cigarette money from his mommy, just like in the song. What happened to A Pluribus Unum? If you never served, you never served. If it was up to me, you would only get 1/8 of a vote. Now take that dress off and get out of the lifeboat, Titanic man. Nobody wants to draft, especially the military. Who wants to hear crybabies cry 24 hours a day? Who wants to listen to why and where questions? Why do we have to? Why me? Where is my mommy? They don't want to witness mine a fragmentation again. Besides, the media will scream outrage when their 1.0 child is drafted. Cowards will pretend they're opposed to the war because they're in it. Who wants to send flag burners for more ammo? The higher the college grades, the better to climb the Hindu Kush. We can't save the potheads and communist AIDS carriers of the 60s. the unwashed, but we can begin a future generations fund, and the one great reason to begin the draft is to get ready for war, which none of us want, but neither did those who went before us. Why bring back the draft? One, it brings us together as a nation. Right now, like one colonel said the other day, yeah, we're fighting the war, and America's at the mall. Two, it gives us a sense of pride and esprit de corps. Three, it takes us out of our environment for the big look. What they've done is they've turned the military into a police department, which they're going to take apart. And they definitely want to take the Marine Corps down. When they get finished with the Marine Corps, everybody will be wearing earrings and high heels. It takes us out of our environment for the big look. You will never be in better physical shape. And I tell you, I look at some of those reserve units that are serving overseas, and they're overweight. You take a look at the World War II pictures. Everyone's a skinny ass. It teaches teamwork and respect for each other. It matures a person rapidly. You get to serve your country, and it's the best place to start the American journey. It helps you focus on your future. Everybody should serve their country once, and the greatest benefit is everybody gets to wear the same underwear. That's an old joke, but it's not funny when you see people using Americans and dividing Americans for political benefit. We are more divided as a nation today than in the Civil War. In the Civil War, we were only divided on about two or three issues. Today, we have so many Mickey Mouse issues. Salt on the table is an issue. Rubbing salt on old wounds to create a problem that only they can solve after creating something out of nothing. Resurrecting old grudges and opening them up again. That's what I'm saying. In my neighborhood, 26 was the average age that Selective Service called you to serve your country. By the way, I got drafted, and when I went to Germany, I met Elvis. And I know a guy that was in the GI Blues with Elvis. He was in one of the bar scenes. That was because most guys pushed up their draft call at 18 rather than have their life be interrupted. I got Elvis's autograph. He was sitting outside of PX. I sent it to my sister, my younger sister. She was thrilled. And then you know what she did? She cut her hair, and she sold parts of her hair as Elvis's. Everybody got called. No one escaped the draft. Uncle Sam was an equal opportunity employer. So rich and poor, black and white, Jew and Gentile, all got the draft notice. And when we got the basic training, we bunked with guys. Listen to this. We bunked with guys fresh off the boat from South America, Ireland, Germany, Hungary. Welcome to the United States, Andor, Jose, Patrick, and Carl. Here is your draft notice. One guy just got here and he trained in Fort Hood and they shipped him back to Germany. Come serve your country. No waiting for citizenship. It's now automatic. So guys of 18 from New York mingled with college graduates and businessmen of 26 from Chicago. Guys from Louisiana and Detroit compared notes and learned from each other. They learned about each other's cultures, destroyed myths and old prejudices, and learned to find common ground to bond together. They learned not to be me first people. They learned to take the breaks without going wussy. They also learned they could achieve the unachievable and had the ability to go the extra mile just when they thought they could not go any further. That's one of the things it teaches you. It teaches you that you can do better than you really think you can do. They learned the team is everything and the individual is only as good as the team. And that's what makes the spirit of America. And today we're being whittled down and we're told that we're no better than other people in the world. Let me tell you something. We are superior to all other people. We are Americans. We have the spirit of America. Nobody has it. I'll give you an example. Brazil, great country, beautiful people. Brazil, if it was invaded tomorrow, everybody would think it was carnival time. They'd be out there with their tambourines and whistles. Yeah, as Hugo Chavez rolled his tanks in, they'd all be doing the samba. And that's the difference. America was made the hard way.
and we intend to stay American forever. So anybody who gets in the way is a communist. So where are we? One man or one vote. Okay. When we allow special interest people with self-serving agendas to change our world, we lose. There should be no lobbyists or special favor seekers in Washington. One man, one vote for the good of all. We cannot entrust a job so serious as protecting this nation to a few good men and women. I call those who serve today the skeleton crew of freedom, and they are a skeleton crew. And if you listened to my show last night, you heard what George Patton said. America has come from behind twice in my lifetime. I doubt if they can do it a third time. Not with the speed of war. That is accelerating and accelerating. Wars are now over in 2 days. We cannot entrust a job so serious as protecting this nation to a few good men. Patton also said, a universal service for all Americans. He liked that. Every young American should contribute at least 1 year to military service. Later on, when you look back on your patriotic contribution to this nation, you can proudly say, you called America, I answered the draft for all. No special treatment for any American, no political influence, run this game plan and watch the change in the national attitude and witness the disintegration of the American wuss. Yep, the American wuss, there is such an animal. Now you look at these politicians we're sending to Washington. Chuck Schumer never served this country. Carl Levin never served this country. President Obama never served this country. President Pinocchio Pants never served this country. Why are you sending people that never served? Connecticut sends a guy who lied about being a Vietnamese war hero. They caught him lying when he was attorney general, so they promoted him to senator. Why do we do that? Barney Frank never served this country. No skin in the game, man. How are they going to sympathize with troops that are out there bleeding in the field? They're going to make a speech. Speeches don't win wars. Hitler was one of the best speech makers going. The American wuss, yes, there is such an animal. Mostly bulked up males who go to the gym and practice their Joe Weider look. I'll tell you another interesting thing. We mentioned Joe Weider, right? I'm in Kuwait on business, right? After I was one of the first guys to go into Kuwait, see if we could do some business. I'm in auto parts. And I get into Kuwait, and I get a Kuwaiti partner. And his son says, Mr. Tom, when you come back next time, can you bring, and he gives me a list of Joe Weider products. Now, you know why he wanted the Joe Weider products? And my daughters are all laughing at home here. They're saying he wants to be the bulkiest Arab on the beach. You know why he wanted Joe Weider products? Because he was Kuwaiti. And when the Iraqis come in, they bitch slapped all the Kuwaitis and kicked them in the ass. They raped their women in a zoo. And when they saw the American troops come in, when the Kuwaitis saw the American troops come in and liberate, and they saw the shape the American troops were in, they thought if they bought Joe Weider products, they would look just like the Americans. And not only that, but I remember my first time into Kuwait, and all the young Kuwaitis all had guns. They all had AK-47s. They had all kinds of guns, and they were all walking around playing macho man. You know, we liberated Kuwait. The next time I went, not one of them had a gun, because the elders took all the guns away from them. They let them have their day, play with your toys, and then we're taking all the guns away. Next time I went, none of them had a gun. And I love that Second Amendment. So, where am I?
Every young American should contribute at least 1 year to military service. You can proudly say, you called America, I answered the draft for all. The American, worse, they drive big, strong vehicles and believe that they were born to be first in lines, which should be there for everybody else but them. They drive in the right lanes that allow them to beat out the traffic line that law-abiding people wait in. They are big, important people and will let you know by talking loudly about themselves on their cell phones, pretending you are not there. They marry their trophies and parade them around like a prize pony, and the women act and talk like men. The one thing they have in common is each one is in love with themselves. They have lavish weddings and treat church like a Hollywood set. They bulk up everything, but the one thing that makes a real man and woman, the heart and the soul. Give me a skinny guy with horn-rimmed glasses and heart any day. They are the winners of wars. Did you ever see pictures of the World War II average G.I. Joes? You ever see Audie Murphy, most decorated World War II hero? He looks like a knockover. He looks like a small guy. But he stood on a tank that was on fire and threw lead into the Germans. Lean, mean, and it wasn't even his tank. Lean, mean, of fighting machines with class. Tipped their hat to a lady, opened the door, gallant Sir Francis Drake types. Do or die, guys. Today, if you hold the door for both, babe, as she thinks you work for her. So why the 50% divorce rate? Because too much Hollywood, too many soaps, and too much cagada de toro, BS. Which brings us to wuss attacks. Today is not the bulk boy's day. He got a traffic ticket for a taillight bulb being out. Sob, sob. You would think these cops would have something better to do. Sob, sob. It gets worse. A flat tire on the way home. Sob, sob. And the can of Fix-A-Flat squirts him in the eye. Everything is going wrong. Sob, sob. There's a real mental crisis going on here. I have to take this out on somebody. As soon as I get this tire fixed, I'm going to beep my horn and practice road rage. Finally, Wuss Man arrives home to find a notice of divorce from Bulk Girl. See attached a termination package and connubial pink slip. Thank the gods as she signed that prenuptial agreement. Let me check the inventory sheets. Some of the reasons that attributed to the marriage failure go back to standards. Women set the standards men live up to or down to. Set them high, men will aim high. Set them low, suffer the consequences. When you hear a jerk say, why buy a cow when the milk is free? Take that big bell off your neck and let him eat the grass. When someone tells you we have to try the fit before we get married, tell them to stick it in his shoe. When someone tells you we should live together before we get married in case we don't like it, how modern? Sure, why not? You can sleep in grandma's room with the 2 and 10-year-old nephews and Sparky. Fidelity is a gift of love. Each gives to the other forever. The big V is the greatest marriage gift, and women should be loved, respected, and revered for that sacrifice. And now we're witnessing the hanging of a Kennedy, the death of another Kennedy woman. The curse of the Kennedys is they don't know how to treat their women right. They drive them all to drink and into drink. That poor woman suffered that marriage. She had a drug problem and an alcoholism problem, and I bet it all started the first day that Monkey Face took a large dump on her and treated her like shit. Yeah, and the media is giving him a pass like he's a victim. Yeah, my old man would give him a pass. Yeah, once above the head with the hurling stick, and then all the rest would be connections. Yeah, a marriage is an equal partnership. It is not measured by prenuptial agreements, who takes out the garbage, who does the dishes. It is, however, governed by each one making the other happy, unselfishly, whatever that takes. However, the male of the species needs to control the TV remote, believing in the myth that he is the king of the castle. He must hold the scepter. Everything else is negotiable. And here's some tips for wedding receptions. If this is the second marriage for both, tell them you gave it the first one and you'd like to see how this one goes first before making another financial commitment. Beware of receptions where the bride and groom work the phone bank, open the envelopes, and call out the amounts and the names of the donors. then ask for pledges while reading the running total off the tote board. And special note to the ladies, only you are biologically equipped to sustain life from day one. The thrill of bringing new life and love into the world is yours alone. Cherish that moment. It only comes once in a hectic lifetime. There is no substitute. It is the only time in your life when you get to feel the halo. See Dennis Quaid in The Savior. Five reasons marriages fail in America. No love, no honor. The wife refuses to obey. A 50% a defect rate in mate picking. Let me tell you something. Guys will do 16 different soft probes. They'll do 25 analysis on feasibility studies on a business, and they turn around and they don't think twice about a wife. You got to look a woman over and make sure she's going to be yours for life. And the fifth reason marriages fail is too much Hollywood. And the antidote is this. One is love potion number 9. Two, a vow is a vow, practice your vows. When Robert Kennedy married Mary Kennedy, he took a vow for life. He stood on the altar of God, and he took a vow that everybody takes to love, honor, and obey in sickness and in mental health. For better or for worse, till death do you part. He failed. He failed his job. And having Hollywood arm candy and saying, oh, I feel so bad, she suffered. You did it to her, buddy. You killed her. And you could have been there to save her. Slip the priest, a vow is a vow, practice your vow. And then I have a special, this is a little tip for you guys. Slip the priest $5 to insert the closing words. Go now and be subject to him. 4, bring back the Sadie Hawkins Day races and marrying Sam the preacher. You don't know about Al Capp. I'll tell you, he hated Joan Baez. He did Little Lapner cartoons. And once a year they had the Sadie Hawkins Day race because I think it was the mayor of the town. He couldn't get his daughter married. And her name was Sadie Hawkins. So he used to have a race, and if his daughter could catch one of the guys, he would marry them. They would have to get married. And be sure to get the written lifetime guarantee. And instead of picking the church with the nice steps on the outside, start the ceremony on the inside. And do not look to Hollywood for happiness. The last happy guy there was Lon Chaney. Show me a liberated woman and I'll show you a real male vapor trail. And to the independent woman who lost her dog, lamenting he was like a son to me, I got bad news, lady. You can't breastfeed a Doberman. However, it is possible that he looks more like his father than his mother. It is true that the only faithful son of a bitch in Hollywood was Rin Tin Tin. St. Bernards look like hell in a baby carriage. Even Disney does not allow dogs under 8 in free. Kids cannot be taught to beg or to heal. Usually it is the parents who sit up and beg to please the child. Look at our track record. The Greatest Generation stayed married. 1,150,000 divorces this year. 1,300,000 abortions. How modern. I know that you're angry, but try not to take it out on the kids. And to think it all started by saying, I do. Now, I'm going to break up this session with a joke. I only got 10 minutes left. And the name of the joke is, tonight is your lucky night, Mr. Goldfarb. Everybody heard Neil Armstrong say, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. But only a few heard him, when he was on the moon, whisper, tonight is your lucky night, Mr. Goldfarb. Many years before, when Neil was a teenager delivering the newspaper, he walked past the bedroom window of the Goldfarb family and overheard Mrs. Goldfarb screaming, sex? You want sex? You can have sex when the kid next door walks on the moon. Off you go, Mr. Goldfarb, into the wild blue yonder. Attaboy. Hang in there, we'll give you a tune. In celebration of Armed Forces Day. Oh, we did that one already.
Thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Transfigures you and me. As he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
The Sniper Song. The name of it is I'll Be Seeing You.
Heart of mine embraces all the truth. in that small cafe in the park, across the way, the chill grins carousel, the chestnut tree. Oh, wishing I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. And I'll always think of you that way, and I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new,
I'll be looking at the moon,
I'll be looking at the stars,
and I'll be seeing you.
This one's for all you Tennesseans. Going to close with the tune that strikes terror into the heart of every military man.
It's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Now the public is anxious for the quota to come. There's a faraway look on the face of the bum. The maid's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. But a terrible place is a pub with no beer. With his dry, dusty throat, he breasts up to the bar, pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly touched him a sneer when the barman says sadly, the pub got no beer. There's a dog on the veranda for his master he waits, but the boss is inside drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover and he cringes in fear. There's no place for a dog round a pub with no beer. Oh, Billy the blacksmith, the first time in his life, has gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, "You're ready, me dear." Then he breaks down and he tells her that the pub's got no beer. Oh, it's lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear, as to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer.
That's our show, folks. We're signing off. Special thanks to all who serve. That goes from the military to priests, nuns, ministers, rabbis, all who serve God and country, including nurses and doctors. Someday we'll have a statue for a nurse. Those angels of mercy. And don't forget the mailman. I'll tell you a quick story. A friend of mine thought his wife was fooling around with the mailman, and he sold everything. He moved to California,
And guess what? He got the same mailman. Have a nice night.